Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I would like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Even better, get notified of new shows as soon as they hit YouTube by subscribing to the Kenmore Team YouTube channel. And once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Good.
Good. It's... Well, you ran an encore show for me while I was out of town. So yes. Plus, you know, you UW football a couple weekends ranks a little higher than me. So I think we missed that one weekend of our normal time slot. Mm-hmm. Yes. So
yes.
My contract was lower than theirs.
Well, you know, with all the TV stuff going on, sometimes we don't find out until 4 or 5 days. Oh, kickoff to be determined.
I love it. I love it. Well, things are going well with you?
Yes.
Okay. That's what we like to hear. I tell you what. After that show, though, after we finished the show 2 weeks ago, I let the guest, Jason Klavansky, with the Christmas lighting, I let him talk me into the lights with the controller.
Oh.
And so I've got Halloween lights up right now on the orange lights on the house, and I'll just flip that little switch for the Seahawks game. Flip it again. I'm ready for Thanksgiving,
ready.
Christmas. Yeah,
4th of July.
It's not just a radio show. He made a sale when he was here. So remember that if you're looking for those fancy new controller. It's crazy what those lights can do. I can't even barely work the controller, but I did figure it out. So, well, we always like, speaking of the orange lights, this is our Halloween special. So today's show, this time of year, I really like to take a look at sometimes the side of real estate we don't talk about. And that is what I call scary real estate stories.
Oh, so yes.
We're going to have some fun ones. We're going to have some serious ones, but we're embracing our Halloween and we're going with our scary real estate stories this week. So it's going to start with the national celebrity house sale story. So this place is located at 25 Washington Square in Salem, Massachusetts, Salem, Mass. And it's directly across from a park that they call Salem Common. So, John, do you remember what happened in Salem, Mass?
Oh, they went to Home Depot and got some rope.
Well, I'm not sure if Home Depot's origins are 1692.
Well, they got rope and there were some people hanging around.
There were some Salem witch trials.
Yes.
So this house sits across from Salem Common, which is an 8-acre park. The pictures of it are absolutely beautiful. And this is a 6-bedroom, 5-bathroom, almost 5,000 square foot, $2.15 million Victorian home.
Ooh.
That, get this, was built across from this park in 1897. It's had a lot of updating inside, but it's got that absolutely beautiful Victorian wraparound porch that you can sit out and you can watch all of the happenings that go on in Salem. And I got to tell you, I was talking to my daughter. My daughter's goes to Boston, ice hockey player, so had to go back east and leave her dad on the West Coast. But she actually, you know, it's like a tourist destination. And I was talking to her last week about going to Salem and seeing, and she said it is a gorgeous area and fun to go to all the museums and stuff. They even said, John, the police cars have pictures of witches on the cars with the logos. So I haven't confirmed.
Was that like a milk carton? Have you seen this person?
I have not confirmed that in person, but that is what the article said for sure that came out of the listing. So there is our scary Halloween story of the week. So now we kind of get into scary real estate stories. And I went to my team for this and said, you know, for collective mindset from our whole organization, submit me a few things that were scary in real estate that you experienced. So the first one I got was pretty fun. So Lori on our team sent me a message. She had her house listed, and at the time she had a 5-year-old. He's much older now. And they leave to go to let people in for a showing. So they leave the house and leave for the showing. And while they're in the car, you got to love kids. They're driving away. And he's like, I put somebody in my bed so they could see what it looks like if someone is sleeping there. And so she's like, what are you talking about? Goes back to the house after the showing. And he has left on the bed like a full-size skeleton, like it was around Halloween night. And so you got to imagine, she said the buyers that looked at the house did not buy the house. That was a no-go for on that one. So a lot of these scary real estate stories have to do with something being in a house that you were not expecting. And I got to tell you, from a safety perspective, probably one of the scariest things to encounter is the feeling of when you are in someone else's house and there is a person in that house that you do not know about. Like, there's supposed to be anybody. So David Price from our team submitted a story, and this one, this one gets me on a number of levels, but is very scary. So he was out showing a $1.2 million home. And they got in the house, and they had been in the house for about 10 minutes, looked around. Now, this was an occupied home that they had to make an appointment for. And they get to the showing of the primary bedroom. They're walking around. They're checking out the primary bath. There's a closed door in there. They open the door to the primary closet. And he sees a person crouched down in the corner, hiding behind a laundry basket.
Wow.
And he said, immediately slams shut the door, yells at his clients, and they bolt out of the house. Like, freaked out, right? Like, they don't know what's going on in that situation. Apparently, the person didn't say anything. So when he got outside, he called the listing agent to let her know what was going on. Well, she found out that someone in this house had been renting a room, and they were working remotely. Well, they had a work emergency, like they had made a huge mistake on a project the day before. And so they couldn't leave for when the showing was scheduled. So instead of, I don't know who makes these decisions, but instead of just saying like, hey, I've got a work emergency, here's the office, and then I got to close the door and keep working. Instead, they chose to hide with their phone and not say anything. And just, I mean, you should have seen when the agent was telling me this story, just absolutely scarred, you know, because of this. So why I say it's like one of the scariest things that can happen is because, I mean, we know about home safety, right? Like, and so like it, when someone breaks into someone else's home, like there's bad news stories about this everywhere. Like when you're in someone's home and you're not supposed to be, usually that situation does not end well. And so once I personally years ago had this exact same experience. Well, it was a little bit different because the house I was touring was listed as vacant. So I'm with clients. The house is listed as vacant. And so when a house is listed as vacant and you get in it, you tend to kind of let your guard down because you're not expecting to find surprises. And so we're in this house. We're showing it. We're in the kitchen. Same type of thing. I'm walking down the hallway. I open a door And there is nothing in this bedroom but one bed. Like it wasn't even against the wall in the middle of the room. And there is a person sleeping in this bed. I slammed the door shut and I'm like waving at the clients. I'm like, out, mm-hmm. out. And so we jet out of there so fast. And you're just like freaked out. And you're like, what is going on? And you don't know if like someone broke into the house or what the situation is. And so once again, in that situation, I call the listing agent and she's like, I have no idea that's what is supposed to be vacant. She calls the sellers and they're like, oh my gosh, we hadn't had a showing in like a week or two. Mm-hmm. We had a friend that was coming through and needed a place to stay for like 2 days. And so we let them stay there and we forgot to call you and tell you. And so when someone's asleep and you come across them and you don't know, I mean, it is just the scariest feeling that you can absolutely have. And so it was fun to, as we started to collect these stories from our agents and go through it, the common theme was coming across unexpected people in a house. And yeah. And just kind of going on that theme, the other scariest one that we had at one point was we had a home where people were living in the attic. Ooh. So they had broke into the house. Then when people were showing up for showings, they were like climbing a ladder into the attic and then like trying to be quiet during showings. This is like in our local market. It wow. was absolutely the craziest thing. So number 1, 2, and 3 on our list for scary, scary real estate stories mm-hmm. all have to do with coming across unknown people in vacant houses. Yes. I mean, it just is absolutely top of the list.
And if they're wearing a sheet, then I presume it takes on a whole new level.
John, don't even start with me. Okay. If I see that in the next month or two, I'm coming back to the show and letting you have it. So yeah, that would not be good at all. When we come back from the break, we're going to dig into some other scary real estate stories on the contract side of things that happen and get out a great pick three that we have for inventory
right here on News Talk 870. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house
in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. This week, we are doing our scary Halloween show. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, what's not scary right now is some awesome inventory on the yes. market for my pick three. And there are some great, great houses. I've been calling it like an extended late summer market because we got a dip in rates. Activity level has stayed up there. And people have been making some decisions about putting their houses on the market. And so there is awesome inventory. Pick number one, I'm going to take you to 1382 Country Ridge Drive in Richland. This is a 4-bedroom, 4-bath, almost 4,000 square foot, amazing home up in Country Ridge in South Richland. It's got an awesome gourmet kitchen, 12-foot island, stainless steel appliances, gas range, secondary prep sink, huge breakfast bar. This is just an absolutely beautiful kitchen. And then you retreat to your private primary suite. You've got deck access, dual sinks, soaking tub, and a huge walk-in shower. And then I got to tell you, one of the best parts of this house is it was custom built for multi-generational living. Mm. So you've got a separate suite with its own hallway, its own door, wide doorways, zero entry type shower situation, sitting room, separate bedroom, like. It was built from the ground up to be like this and really done in one of the best ways I've ever seen. So, and then you go outside to the grounds and you get those large Country Ridge lots mm-hmm. and stuff. Absolutely beautiful. RV parking, gas fire pit, garden shed, super well set up. And that's coming in at $950,000, which for Country Ridge, multi-generational living, extra suite, awesome, awesome property. Pick number two, I'm taking you over to Pasco, 7824 White Bluff Court in Pasco. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath, 1907 square feet. Awesome West Pasco cul-de-sac location. Updated in 2021 was the kitchen with stainless steel appliances, new countertops, backsplash, just super modern-looking kitchen. Down in the lower level, you have a lower suite that has a walk-in closet plus a walk-in shower. So you're basically getting, in that square footage, two primary. Mm-hmm. Got to keep. There's a scary real estate story, McKay. I'm old enough to still say the wrong term. And then out back, vinyl fence backyard, storage shed, paver patio, and pergola. And that's coming in at $425,000. So I don't think I've seen dual primaries in that price point in a long time. So great, great property there. Oh, man. And then pick number three. This place is just absolutely beautiful. I'm going to take you out to Prosser, 7501 South 1366, private road southwest.
Okay.
Four bedroom, three bath, 2870 square feet. And then listen to this. We're putting all of that on 2.43 acres. Yakima River frontage, 140 Ooh. Feet of private river frontage. You've got a geothermal HVAC system out there. The kitchen is a true showstopper. High-end granite counters, lots of cabinet space, huge, large peninsula, stainless steel appliances, walk-in pantry. Mm-hmm. It is just an awesome, awesome kitchen. You go to the primary suite, you're going to take advantage and get that river view, covered patio, super luxurious primary bath, freestanding stone tub, walk-in shower. I mean, this is truly like an estate-type retreat property. And then you've also got a four-car garage, so you can put all the toys and tools that you need in there. 10-foot-wide doors, tons of storage, workbenches, 200-amp service. And then you go outside, you've got a floating dock, you've got a fire pit, you've got the river. I mean, this is one of the places, it's like, if you get the groceries delivered, like, just don't leave. I mean, it is just like, it is amazing. And that's coming in at $1.25 million, which to get riverfront and that much acreage at the same time is just an incredible property. So like I said, lots of amazing properties still out there, still coming on the market. And we are just helping sellers get property sold right now. If you have any questions about any of those, go to kenmoreteam.com. And shoot us a message. So we've been talking about Halloween as a chance to talk about scary real estate stories.
Mm-hmm.
So probably one of the scariest things that can happen and that I've seen happen, I've helped actually consult somebody that got themselves into a pickle on a deal like this, is probably one of the scariest things that can happen in real estate is that you sell your house twice.
Yep.
And so it's actually, well, how do I phrase this? Never mind. There's not a good way to phrase it. It's actually pretty difficult to do. Like it's pretty stupid if you actually do it. Like that is, it probably happens more than it should, but this is like the number one real estate, like big no-no. And when it happens, the reasons it's so scary is because of the liability that it causes for the seller and those that are involved in that situation. So somebody might ask, well, Lance, how could this happen? Well, here's in general what happens in these situations. And a lot of times people don't know this. You get an offer on a house, you're considering it,
mm-hmm.
and then you decide, well, there's a few terms we need to change. Let's make a counteroffer.
Okay.
So you change some terms on your counteroffer, and you send it back to the other folks. Generally, there's a two-day time period, like standard contract language, unless you change it. There's a two-day time period that the buyer has to consider your counteroffer. There's okay. a lot of things they could do. They could make changes, counteroffer again. But what they could do is they could sign it and accept it as is. And then once they give notice back to the seller, you are under contract. You now have a mutually accepted contract that both parties have to abide by the terms. So in the meantime, what I've seen happen in those situations is seller puts out a counteroffer. All of a sudden, buyer number two comes along, and they write a full price, great offer. And what does the seller say? The seller says, this is way better than the counteroffer that we sent that other party. Let's just accept this offer. It's exactly what we wanted. Let's accept it. So I have seen people make the mistake, new agents that don't know what they're doing, or think people that don't know better or don't get the right advice. They are like, well, let's accept it. And then let's withdraw that other. You can withdraw your counteroffer.
Okay.
Well, I've seen within minutes of each other, that is the wrong order of operations to say what I just said. Let's accept this second offer and then withdraw. No. You must do and confirm is that you withdraw the counteroffer first. Because I've seen what happens in situations. I've seen people, they got excited, they accepted the second offer, and then before they could, like why they were signing that second offer, and they sent it back to the other agent, so there was notice, before they could send their withdrawal of counteroffer, and it just takes an email to the right email addresses in the state of Washington, before they could send the withdrawal of counteroffer, ding, 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 an email came into their inbox, full acceptance of the counteroffer.
Oh.
So now they have two ratified contracts for the same house. Who gets to buy it? So now you have two buyers out there. They're opening escrow. They have no reason not to open escrow. There's no conflicting terms. They don't know about the other offer. The seller has a big, big, big problem. And then also they could have a damages problem. They could get sued for the buyer not able to find. I mean, I'm not an attorney, but there is a lot of things that could happen in this situation. And it is a very scary, scary situation to be in. The particular instance that I was helping consult on, because I'm in a mastermind of agents all across the country, and some states this is easier to happen in than others. They were able to get out of that situation, but it was like 5 days where that other agent was not sleeping because they were very, very lucky that one of the buyers did the home inspection. They let both continue with their contract. One of the buyers did the home inspection and found major, major things that they felt like were wrong and requested a huge list of items that the seller said no to, and then that contract fell apart.
Okay.
But that is a risky, risky proposition that involved lots of attorneys with lots of advice that I can't talk about because I'm not licensed to. But I can tell you, I've been a fly on the wall for those conversations. It makes my skin crawl. It's so scary in real estate.
You sold your house twice. Yeah.
So we are always very, very careful about withdrawals of counteroffers, making sure there's no live offers out there before anybody deals or works with situations. And different states are different. There's actually an addendum I've seen in other states that allows, so in Washington, we don't have an approved addendum with the Association of Realtors that we can do this with. But in other states, you can make multiple counteroffers at the same time. And it's like a horse race to the first person that returns a ratified contract negates the other contracts.
Ooh.
Like in these addendums I've seen written, but it does not work that way. From legal counsel told me in Washington, it does not work that exact same way. And that just scares. I mean, maybe it's because I've talked to attorneys here in Washington. It just, I'm like, when I talk to these agents, I'm like, you do what? Like, that is like the scariest thing I can imagine. So that's a crazy one. A scary, scary real estate story. The next one that we had on the list was that, and this happens sometimes. And it is kind of scary, but we have had a number of sellers that have passed away and died during a transaction. And that's always a scary situation, right? For a lot of people in the transaction. Number one, it's scary to get that phone call when you know, that's a client and somebody you've represented and cared about. So that's a scary situation. And then you now have a contract legal situation to work out with the buyer of that. And then will the heirs want to have the same thing happen to that property that now they'll be in control of? And so it immediately becomes scary because you're dealing with people that won't close on time.
Yes.
You're dealing with the uncertainty of a buyer that doesn't know if they're going to get the property. And then a lot of times the heirs, like, they really wanted this transaction to go through. Like, the person that was selling it, when I've seen this happen and they're in bad health, they were trying to clean things up before they knew they made it the problem of their family members. So then you have heirs, like, they really like want the transaction to go through, but weren't legally prepared with the right steps. So as scary as that is, we have a long list of attorneys in that situation. We normally get attorneys involved. There's probate. There's steps that we can take that we've been through to help people in that situation, try to make it as easy as possible, because
yes,
it is a very, very scary situation. The last one that I had today that I thought was an interesting one that came out of making sure you know which property you actually own.
Oh,
this comes from an agent out of Arizona. They sent me this story, and this was back in the housing bust of 2010, 2011. What you had down in Arizona happen is you had large tracts of vacant subdivisions,
okay,
that did not get developed out. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lots. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those got foreclosed on by the banks that were financing those projects and then remarketed and put on the market. So I had an agent and he sold a lot, and then those lots came back on the market at a very, very discounted rate. And they sold quick when they did, because previously they had been listed at like 100,000 per lot. But then when they came back on the market, they were like 40,000 a lot after the foreclosure. And so I had an agent and he said, I sold a builder a lot in one of these subdivisions that's hundreds of lots. And he called me about 4 months later and said, hey, you got to come see, I've got the house framed up, and you got to come check it out. It's looking great. I want you to see when I'm done, you know, what you think you can sell it for. And so this agent went out there and he pulled up to the lot and just something didn't seem right to him. And he was just kind of scratching his head. And he was like, this just doesn't feel right. And so he goes back and looks at the paperwork and he counts the lots from the corner, and he had sold this gentleman lot 10.
Okay.
And the house was framed, foundation poured, framed, and they were starting roofing. And when he counted in his mind, it appeared that they were doing all of that on lot 9.
Oh.
And so this builder had a house on lot 9 that he was, you know, massively committed to and into right now. So talk about scary. The builder's freaking out. The agent that sent me the story is freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And the builder's like, well, what are we going to do in this situation? And so the agent told me what they did is they talked about it. He said, well, this is going to be like a big legal issue, and there's going to be like massive issues with this. And you put this on property you don't, it's going to just open up a can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes, have you ever thought about building two houses out here in this subdivision? And he goes, well, what do you mean? And he goes, well, these lots have all been selling. Like, I just looked it up. Like, this lot sold for 40. He goes, why don't I just call this guy? The address is an out-of-town address. So an investor had bought multiple lots there.
Uh-huh.
He goes, why don't I just call this guy and we'll just offer him 50? And he's like, well, what are you going to tell him? Well, I'm just going to tell him you're a builder that wants to buy the lot. So they call this investor who lives out of town, can't come check on the property. They offer him $10,000 more than he just paid for this lot like a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And he sold it to him.
Oh.
And they never went. They never went and told him that they had started building a house on it. I don't even know how it processed. But back then there were hundreds and hundreds of these processing, you know, and going a lot. And I'm sure, you know, an attorney could tell me, I'm sure there's, you know, I don't know Arizona law. I mean, I can sell real estate in Washington and Oregon, but just in my brain, it's pretty quick to think that there's about 9 illegal things that have happened in the course of that. Or, you know, at the end, I think
gray.
Gray for sure in that situation. So I am super glad that I was not involved in that transaction and I just got this story emailed to me. So talk about being very, very scary. So, you know, I present these as scary stories, and everybody has things in the course of their job and business that make your day a bad day.
Yes.
For the most part, what we do, this is the dark side of things that we don't talk about on the radio a lot, but they're all problems that were surmountable. Like, we found solutions to, and
yes,
and our job is different every single day. I had somebody, I'm sure I'm going to do a whole radio. I had somebody submit it. I think I've been in this business long enough. I've seen it all. I had somebody submit two scenarios to me from my buyer's agents this week that I've never seen before. And I mean, we figured out a solution and moved forward, but I'm still shocked that that's the case. And it makes for great podcasting and radio, McKay. Yes. But we like to solve these problems. So if a big problem like this does come up and you're unsure what to do, likely I've talked to somebody or had the experience, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot me a message, send me a text. We would love to help solve some of those scary problems in real estate. And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.